The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Good morning again, or good afternoon, or good evening. A warm welcome, warm welcome. So this week I've been talking about questioning. And I've been offering during the guided meditation this question, like, what is this? And this is an open-ended question. It's, you know, there can be an untold number of answers. And having this kind of like openness to what might be here, to what is arising, this can be really supportive for our practice. And this sense of open-endedness. Maybe like science or art, it's just assumed that someday we will outgrow some of our scientific theories, right? There's always new things, better understandings, a little bit more accuracy, discovering new things. And the same with art, too. For example, we can think of Picasso or Monet. These are two kind of considered masters, and I can imagine Picasso when he was first doing his cubist art, you know, the art that has all these different angles, which was a shock to the art world at the time. But I can imagine that he was walking around his subject saying, oh, what is this? And looking at a different angle, what is this? And then walking around to yet another angle, what is this? Walking around to one more angle, what is this? And then putting them on canvas, what he was seeing. So in some ways, like incorporating an element of time, maybe, onto this two-dimensional painting. But just by asking, what is this? And interpreting it in a particular way, and therefore kind of like pushing forward. It's onward leading. Not that it has to be completely innovative and new and shocking, but that there isn't a preconceived idea of what it should be or what it has to be. Same with Monet, right? Kind of looking at light on different objects when he was doing these impressionist paintings. Like, what is it? What is really being seen here? So having a sense of the unknown and having it being onward leading. At the same time, there can be some yes-no questions that are helpful. So we can have these open-ended, what is this? Kind of a question that maybe pushes the boundaries against what we're expecting or want to see. At the same time, we can have some very simple yes, no questions. Many of you will be familiar with this story of the Kalamas, this community of people who were in the midst of the spiritual marketplace, shall we say, and they asked the Buddha, there's all these different teachings, whom should we believe? What should we do with all these teachings? This is my summary of the discourse. And the Buddha responds that his response emphasizes the importance of direct experience, that we're actually there present for our experience, but at the same time recognizing that there's different modes of authority. Some might be our internal experience, might be the way in which we it feels right or aligns with our views. Or there might be some external authority, what a teacher has said, what the scriptures say, the discourses say. So these different modes of authority, some of them internal, some of them external, some of them are reliable and some of them are not so reliable. But how do we tell? How do we know which sources of authority are reliable and can lead us to greater and greater freedom, can help us help others. So one of the yes-no questions that the Buddha offered is this question of, is it skillful? Is it wholesome? Is it helpful? And we can answer these questions in terms of cause and effect. In the laboratory of our actions including mental actions, speech actions, and bodily actions, in the laboratory of our actions, we can see, are the consequences of what we are thinking, saying, doing, does it lead to greater freedom? Does it lead to greater ease? Does it lead to greater happiness? Is it a support for greater ease and freedom? So whatever is unskillful, that leads to harm, that leads to ill will, leads to those things that are not supportive, to abandon those. And whatever is skillful, which leads to support, to benefit, to pursue those, to develop those. So there can be some yes-no questions also that are helpful. Is it wholesome? Is it skillful? Is it helpful? And we can use cause and effect to help us, but also we can, in the Kalama Sutta, there is mentioning of taking into account, what do the wise people say? Would they criticize or would they blame? So not that we have to reinvent the wheel and rediscover the Dharma with every moment. We can use as guidance what others have said, we have learned for ourselves, what we read in the discourses, what we hear in Dharma talks, read in Dharma books. But at the same time, to not abandon our internal sense of authority, still having to check out the external sense of authority too. So there are some questions that are, in general, not helpful. I'm encouraging the stance of, you know, questioning, but not to have a blanket statement that all of them are helpful. For example, there might be some judgments that are disguised as questions. For example, something like, why do I always get angry when I'm in physical pain? That has a tone of like I shouldn't be angry, and probably angry isn't helpful, but can you see how there's this kind of a sense of self-condemnation in there, as opposed to what happens when I notice I have this pain in my knee? And you might notice that there's some tightness in the body and maybe some blaming others, blaming oneself. And then with the sense of blaming, well, what is this? It's like, oh yeah, maybe it's a sense of disappointment or regret. And then, what is this? Oh, yeah, underneath the regret is maybe some wish that things were different. And then, what is this? Underneath the wish that things were different is maybe some sadness. What is this? Maybe underneath the sadness there's a sense of compassion or a sense of wishing that for oneself to have some ease and happiness and for others to have some ease and happiness. So to ask in a way in which deeper levels might make themselves known, not in a way in which we are condemning ourselves. And some of you may be familiar with this other story from the discourses with Malunkyaputta, who was a a monk was a monastic underneath the Buddha. And one time he goes to the Buddha and says, I'm going to disrobe, I'm going to leave the order unless you answer these particular questions. And the Buddha said to him, well, did I ever promise you I was going to answer those questions? And Manlokyaputta says, well, no. And so the Buddha says, well, then why are you threatening to disrobe if I don't answer them? You silly man, are you really in a position to be abandoning anything, like to be abandoning the practice? So he gets rebuked a little bit here by the Buddha. So Manlokyaputta, he wanted to ask questions. Is the world finite? Is the world infinite? Is the world eternal? Is it not eternal? So he was asking about these existential questions about time and space that are really not so relevant to finding greater freedom and greater ease. How can we know? And usually underneath these types of questions are, will I live forever in time? Will I live forever in space? It's kind of what's underneath these types of questions. So instead, the Buddha, in response to Manlokyaputta, gave him some criteria to help determine which kinds of questions are helpful. And again, we come to this cause and effect, this laboratory, if you will, of our actions. The Buddha says that questions that are helpful are beneficial, supportive. They are relevant to the spiritual life, that is, that they help us with our direct experience and ways of how to be the best versions of ourselves, how to find more and more happiness, peace, freedom. And importantly, that it leads, that questions lead to a certain amount of disillusionment, some dispassion, that is, some disentangling ourselves from what we believe are sources of lasting happiness, acquiring more and more things, having higher and higher status, things that we might mistakenly think are sources of lasting happiness, but actually aren't sources of lasting happiness. So types of questions that help us to see that, that lead to some disillusionment and dispassion, like passion kind of meaning getting tangled up in and really filled up with. And, you know, so passion can be a good thing in terms it leads some energy, but not if it obscures our clarity and diminishes our own wisdom. So questions that lead to peace and insight and awakening and nibbana, enlightenment, complete freedom, questions that lead to the end of suffering. So an integral part of our practice can be to be questioning, but also to have some wisdom, to have some discernment about the types of questions we ask. Are they supportive? Are they beneficial? Or are they a dead end and a deadening of our practice in some way? And can they support us in finding greater and greater peace and ease, freedom, all the way to complete awakening?